All right, here we go. Week 2 of Abraham. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 12. Glad you are here joining us today. For those online, we welcome you here as well, being a part of our worship and our message today. So last week, you remember, we opened up, starting learning about Abraham, some things that maybe we didn't know before, because after all, he starts his journey at 75 years old. There's an entire life before 75 years old. And we're like, who is this guy and what is he about? And so we were learning that. But this is the big thing, and you're going to hear this every week because I want to make sure we see this as a reality. What God wants to do in you is more important than God, what God wants to do through you. And sometimes you look at Abraham and we just think God's got to get a nation somehow. So he's got to start with somebody, and that's going to be Abraham. And God just needs to use him. Instead of, what does God want to do in Abraham? What does God want to do in you? That's going to be a big question that's going to happen all throughout this series as we learn more about Abraham. Now, some of these stories are going to be really familiar. If you grew up in church, you grew up reading about these things, learning about Abraham. Some of these stories are going to be real familiar. Some are going to be, I didn't know that ever happened. It's just going to be some different things. So Genesis 12 is really the beginning, the promise. What God comes to Abram and promises him that he wants to do through him and what he wants to do in him in order to accomplish something great. Now he's 75 years old when this happens. He's had a whole nother life, and God is going to ask him to do something pretty big. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 12, you can follow along on screen. For those who are online, right in the bottom of the screen, you're going to see all the verses there as well, and you can follow along with us. Okay, so here it comes. Now the Lord said to Abram, okay, before he's Abraham, he is Abram, go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's house. Now, we'd read this and go, okay, like, doesn't everybody do that in America, right? At some point, you leave your parents' house, or you're just so old, they're going to kick you out of the basement, okay? That's just what's going to happen, okay? But this isn't America, and sometimes we have to be reminded of that and say, okay, but what was their culture like? Totally different. He was asking Abram to give up everything, okay? Because to live in your father's house, to live there meant several things. That was your protection. That was your provision. That was the trade that you took on, okay? There's a reason, even in the New Testament, we look at Jesus and say, well, why was he a carpenter? Because his earthly father, was a carpenter, okay? And that's what it was like living in the father's house. You took on the trade, whatever the father did, okay? You didn't look and say, well, that's dumb. I don't want to be a farmer, okay? You didn't look and say, no, I don't want to be a carpenter. I want to do something else. We live in a totally different time. So sometimes we'll read verses like this. Okay, what's the big deal? He got up and left. Okay, because for 75 years, that's where Abram lived. And that was his protection. That was all his provisions. That was the trade he was about. And also with the father came beliefs. Your God, who you follow and who you worship. Now, one thing we learned last week was that Abraham's father worshipped idols. So guess what Abraham did? He worshipped idols because that's the house in which you live. So if you've ever been reading the book of Acts and you read about a situation where Paul is in prison and he gets released, and in chapter 16 of Acts, it tells this whole story that the jailer is going to kill himself because he thinks everybody's going to leave. And it was Paul's opportunity to lead him to Christ. And there's this little phrase that we almost skip over where Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Okay? Well, why did he say that? Because whoever the father followed, everybody in the household followed. So for that Philippian jailer, for his conversion to Jesus, meant everybody in the house did that. So this is a big deal to Abram. This is big, huge. Leave everything you've known, all your protection, all your provision, the trade you know, the worship you've known, leave it all when you leave the Father's house. To the land that I will show you. To the land that I will show you. In other words, just go, leave, and I'll tell you when to stop walking. Now, that's also a huge challenge. Because if we have all these resources. So a couple weeks ago, we found ourselves in Idaho, and now we knew exactly what things looked like there, right? You know, the internet, looking everything up. What's the golf course like? Okay, can I really hit a ball over the water onto this little green? The answer is no, okay? The answer was no, okay? Couldn't do it, okay? So all of that, we knew exactly what that was going to be like, okay? No pictures, no nothing. Abram, get up and go. Go to the land, and I will tell you when to stop. I will show you the place that I want you to go. Then, when you do that, then I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. What's fascinating is just a few chapters before in the book of Genesis, you have this whole group of people trying to make a name for themselves. And here's Abram just at his father's house doing his thing. And God says, I'm going to make you into a great name. And I'm going to make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will exemplify what divine blessing is. When God blesses a life, Abraham, I want them to think of you. Okay? When they wonder, what does it look like when God blesses a life? What does it look like when God bestows some blessing on a life? They are going to think, Abram, of you, okay? I'm going to make you great, and you're going to exemplify what it means to be blessed by God. I will bless those who bless you, but the ones who treat you lightly, some of you will say the ones that curse you, okay? I must curse. And this whole idea is, Abraham, anybody who treats you poorly, because I want to bless you and because I'm making you into a great name, I'm going to deal with them. Okay, I have to. For the sake of my reputation and what I want to do in you, I'll take care of them. I'll deal with them. Abram, I'm for you. I have a plan for you here, okay? Don't worry about the people who oppose you. Don't worry about the people who tell you you can't. Don't worry about the people who want to stop you. Don't worry about any of those, okay? I'm going to deal with them. So that, and this is huge, So what, Abraham, you can get rich and successful and you can drive whatever, I don't know, whatever they drove back then, okay? A nice gold chariot, whatever it might be. No, it wasn't so he could get more, so he could accumulate stuff, so that all the families of the earth may receive blessing through you. God says, I'm going to do all of this. And it's not just for your sake, Abram. It is for the sake of every single person on the earth is going to be blessed through you. That's a big promise, right? That's a big promise. This is not something small. This is not something you wonder, is it worth leaving the Father's house for? This is a big promise from a God that Abram's just getting to know, and he's got to make this decision. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do? Am I going to leave? Am I going to go? Am I going to do what God has asked me to do? Really, it's really this God saying, if you obey, then I will. We never hear of Abram today who said, nah, God, can you find somebody else? I don't think that's me. I don't think I can leave all this protection and this provision and the trade I have. I don't think I can leave all that. You better find someone else. Would we know Abram today? No. No, we wouldn't, because it wouldn't be obedience. He wouldn't have left. He wouldn't have done what God had asked him to do. And God's just saying, I need you to obey me. And when you do, then I'm going to do all of this. I will accomplish all this. I'm going to do all this. And I'm going to bless you in great ways. So what would he do? What would you do? What would you do? God asked you to do something that risky, to risk everything for his sake. What would you do? Would you sit there and go, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. Would you be all eager to go? Well, here's what we know. So Abram left, just as the Lord told him to, and Lot went with him. And we'll pick up why that's important in a couple weeks. But there he is. We'll go. We'll find out what this journey is going to take us. We're going to see what's going to happen. And Abram's just willing to believe God, okay? Here's the way the writer of the Hebrews puts it, okay? When he's looking back and he's commenting on all these individuals in Hebrews chapter 11, it's a great chapter you should read because it covers so many different individuals. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. And he went out without understanding where he was going. And he had no idea, okay? They didn't vacation in that spot, okay? They didn't go there. They didn't vacation in that spot. They didn't end up there. They went out, and he just left going, okay, God, I'm going to trust you that you got a plan in the midst of all of this. And he goes out, not even knowing where he was going, where he was going to end up. That's the story of Abram, okay? Without his obedience, this is what you need to know. Abraham's story would be very, very different. There's no Abraham. We don't know his story. Without his obedience to what God was asking him to do. If he just sat there and said, God, this is too risky. I can't risk all this, okay? I got all this provision. I got all this, everything is right here. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. Then we'd have a totally different story of Abraham. Okay, lessons for us, because this is great, but this is not one of these points where we read scripture and this is God's promise to us, okay? Leave and I'm going to make your name great and I'm going to bless, okay? So then what is the lesson for us? What can we walk away with this passage and learn and understand and apply to our life? So then we're not just reading some guy who lived, 5,000 years ago and say, oh, that was nice, that's encouraging, but God didn't come to me and ask me to do that, so what do I learn from this? And these are really some important things. Number one, don't expect the blessings of God without obedience to God. Boy, we would love to do this, and we do this quite often. We want God to bless our lives. We want to do whatever we want to do. Well, it didn't work that way. It didn't work the way for Abram. Oh, God, just let me do whatever I want to do, and then you just come in, and you make my name great, and you make me into a great nation, and you do all this. Don't expect the blessings of God without obedience to God. Don't. Don't think God's going to bless your finances if you're not giving. Don't expect God to do that. Why? Because you haven't obeyed with giving from what he has given to you, from everything that you have. But sometimes we want God to do that. God, can't you just, make a check magically appear, right? Can't you make my bank account just grow? Well, why would God do that if we're not obeying him now with our money? If we're not obeying him now, he's certainly not going to bless us and give us more so that we can continue to give nothing to God. See how that works? Okay? He knows we're not going to give nothing anyway, so why would God bless us more so that we could give zero still? Okay? So we could give less. So don't expect God to bless your finances. Don't expect God to bless your marriage. If you're just doing whatever you want, okay? If there is no forgiveness in that marriage, isn't it interesting? One of the biggest issues, okay, in marriages is forgiveness, because we all have really good memories when it comes to when people hurt us. I mean, you can remember everything, can't you? You remember the time, the place, okay? What was going on at that moment, okay, and probably can't remember much anything else, okay? But we remember our hurts. And if there isn't forgiveness in a marriage, how do you expect God to bless that? How do you expect God to do something in you if you're just going to refuse to forgive your spouse for what has happened? So don't expect God to bless your marriage, your family, if you're not going to obey the things that he told you to do. We just have this opposite. We just want to live our lives, and then we want God to come and just bless it. But that's not how it works. God says, no, I want you to follow this. This is going to give you the best marriage. This is going to give you the best family. This is going to give you the best result for your finances if you would just follow what I said and if you would just obey it. If you would just do that, you don't understand how much you would be blessed and how much everything in your life would change because of that. So if you're here this morning wondering why you're not being what you think is blessed by God, then you need to ask, where in my life am I not obeying him? And that is just kind of derailing everything that God wants to do in your life. Because there is no Abram and there is no story of Abraham without him. Okay, I'm going to come out from my father's house, and I'm going to leave that protection. I'm going to leave that provision. I'm going to leave all of that, and I'm going to go to the place that you have called me to go. Number two, obey God and leave all of the consequences up to him. If you remember something from last week, okay, you're thinking, what's Abraham thinking at this point? Because last week we found out that when Abraham married Sarai, or Sarah, that he knew she could not have children. She was barren, couldn't have kids, okay? And then here comes God. He knows all of this about his wife. They have no children, and God comes and says what? I'm going to make you a great nation. Wouldn't that include kids, okay? You ever think Abraham's going, what? How are you going to do any of this? How are you going to, where are we going, okay? And how are you going to do this? And I'm certain we could give our list of 50 questions to God. Could you just answer all these things? Because I have no idea how you're going to make all of this work. How are you going to give me an heir when my wife can't have kids? I have no idea how you're going to do this. And instead of doing that, he simply obeys God and leaves everything up to him. Like, what does that mean to leave your father's house and all that protection? Okay? Who's going to protect Abraham now? Because he's not under the protection of the Beit Av, the father's house. What is he going to do? I don't know. He's just going to leave that up to God. Okay? How's he going to be provided for? He's going to leave that up to God. What about his trade? And what is he going to do? He's going to leave that up to God. Sometimes what God asks us to do is just obey him and leave all the consequences up to him. Just let God figure everything out, what he's going to do when he's just asked us to obey. But that's hard, isn't it? That requires a lot of trust. That requires this thing called faith, believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do everything he says he will do. So I know you have a lot of questions when God asks us to do something. But what if we just decided, okay, I'm just going to obey and I'm going to leave all the consequences up to God because I have no idea how any of this is going to work out. I have no idea how any of this is going to work or how any of this is going to shape or how any of this is going to come together. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about any of that. I'm just going to obey God and I'm going to leave all the consequences up to him. I think we did that, it would totally change the way we look at Scripture. We look at the things that God is telling us to do. It'd be totally different. Instead of I gotta have all these questions answered, okay, God, if this is what you're gonna do, I'm just gonna trust you doing this. And I'm gonna trust you gotta plan through all this, and I'm gonna trust you're gonna work all of this out because I don't understand any of this right now. What if we just started obeying God and leaving all the consequences up to him for however things were going to turn out? Number three, we are always blessed to bless others. Okay? God does not bless us so we could just increase more and more and pile up more and more and gain more and more and hold on to more and more. It's always blessed to bless others. That's the pattern he started with Abraham. Abraham, I'm doing all this, not because you're going to be rich, not so you can be successful, not any of that. It's because of what I want to do through everybody else through you. That God blesses us so that we can, in fact, bless others. So I would ask you to look in your life where you see God's blessings. Is it in your finances? Then you've been blessed to bless others. Is it in your marriage, in your family? Then you've been blessed to bless others. How is that going? How is that going? I know it's so different in our world because everything is about me and consuming what I have and stockpiling what I have and piling it all up and getting more and more and more and more and more. Because that's what we are bombarded with all the time. This closed hand, grab it, keep it all for ourselves. But God is something better for us. God is something greater for us. And that is to live open-handed and to see how we might bless the people around us simply because God has blessed us. None of those blessings have been given to you to consume for yourself. They've all been given to you so that you will pass them on to somebody else and so that other people could be blessed through you. Maybe the simplest way that you see this every now and then is when you will hear about somebody in the McDonald's drive-thru or if we had one, the Starbucks drive-through, where the person starts paying for the person behind them, and all of a sudden you have this whole, and it goes on and on. How long will it last? How long will it take place? And all it is what? I'm going to take the blessing that somebody gave me, and I'm going to pass it on to somebody else. Yeah, I can get my whole meal free, okay? But I'm going to choose to take that blessing and to give it to somebody else, okay? That is one of the simplest ways we see that happen in our own culture, okay? That instead of taking and holding on to it for ourselves, we're going to release it, and we're going to give it to somebody else. What are you holding on to that God would like you to release and to give to somebody else? We saw a lot of this in paying off the mortgage on this building, okay? We saw a lot of this. Saw a lot of people going, oh, hey, the government just sent me a check, so I'm going to give that to the church. I'm going to give a percentage church, right? This is a nice blessing, okay? But how might I bless others through this? And we saw it happen. We saw it take place, okay? Some of you experienced that, and I want you to continue to experience that with the things that God has given to you, with the blessings he has given to you. What would it look like instead of holding on to those, we'd release those and watch God do something great as we bless others around us. Number four, risks are always worth it in God's kingdom, okay? God-centered risks are always worth it. They're always worth it, okay? And I understand what he is asking Abraham to risk is a lot. And sometimes, okay, because we are also in a very safety-driven culture, okay, that we tend to want to be safe all the time, and sometimes God wants us to kind of walk out and take some risks, Not be crazy at times, but just, am I going to take a risk? I'm going to take a risk and try this. I'm going to take a risk and do this. But it's true. We are all about safety. So when we go on our trips, normally we rent a car, okay, that keeps the thousands of miles off our own, okay? And the newer the cars get, the more features they get. Have you noticed this, okay? This car we had was ridiculous, okay? I kept getting this warning light, you are driving too close to the car in front of you, okay? I'm like, I don't care, okay? I am driving that close, right? Get this warning. So on this one, it had, the light would flash. If somebody's in your blind spot, you see your mirror. So you're just driving down the road. Why is this mirror flashing at me, okay? I don't get it, okay? And then you have to figure out what all this stuff is for. Lane departure, okay? No wonder you can scroll through and say, shut it off, okay? Stop telling me this stuff, okay? It was all this safety stuff. I'm like, oh my goodness, okay? If you had your windows down and the air on, it would tell you. Your windows are down, your air is on. I'm like, really? Okay? So it was everything, okay? It's all this safety. When is the last time you took a risk? When's the last time you took a risk for the sake of God's kingdom? When's the last time you took something that was meant for something else, but I'm going to risk this for the kingdom of God? When's the last time you're willing to put yourself in a difficult situation? Okay, I know it's risky, and I really don't want to ruin another friendship, but I really need to talk to this person about what's going on in their life, and it's really hard, and it's an awkward conversation. I don't know if I really want to have it, and so we just play it safe, and oh, somebody else will tell them, okay? Somebody else will help them figure it out. When in love, sometimes God wants us to go to people and encourage them and help them where they are at. But that is risky. It's risky. But are we willing to take those risks? Are we really willing to take those risks for the kingdom of God? That's what I want us to think about today. This is a huge risk that Abraham takes. But the question is, they're always worth it. They're always worth it. Now, they might not always end up like we think, but they are always worth it. When God asks us to take a risk, to trust him that he is up to something in the middle and in the midst of everything that is going on. So here's how we want to wrap up this morning. God wants to do something great in you. Are you being obedient to him? If you didn't catch, that was a big theme this morning, okay? That the thing, what God wants to do in us so often is being hindered by us not obeying him and not doing what he is asking us to do. Sometimes it's just fear. I don't know if I can do that. I'm scared. Sometimes it's other things that cause us not to do what God has been asking us and calling us to do. We just don't, okay? So I want to remind you that God wants to do something great in you. Don't ever doubt that. Ask yourself this morning, where am I not being obedient? Yeah, I know scripture says this, but, okay? Anytime you hear yourself thinking that phrase, you're in trouble, okay? And I've been there plenty. You just start justifying, well, it's okay that I'm disobedient here, okay? It's okay. God would understand, okay? So maybe this is a situation where you obey God and leave all the consequences up to him. Every single person in the room, every single person online, you need to know that God wants to do something great in you. But your disobedience is just going to hold that back. God's ready to go. God's ready to go at it. God's ready to do something great. He's waiting for you to obey and to follow and do what he has asked you to do. So as we pray this morning together before we worship one more time, we're just going to ask God to help us, to show us part of our life where we're not being obedient. Maybe it's places we're not forgiving. Maybe it's places where we're complaining too much instead of, you know, doing something about it. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's our family that we're just not being obedient in. And we would just ask God to show us that. And then more importantly today, we're going to act. We're going to act on it. We're going to do something. We're going to change the way that we've been living in that area. And we're going to start being obedient to what God's calling us to do. So let's pray together. Let's ask God to show us where we're not being obedient. And then let's go out and obey. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we would pray what David wrote. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my thoughts. Know my anxious ways. Because we are so easily self-deceived that we could be thinking we're doing everything right. We're obeying. We're walking on the right paths. But if we could be honest and if we would stop just lying to ourselves, we'd realize, no, we're not. We're actually missing some areas. We're actually not being obedient. So show that to us. Reveal that to us. And then give us the courage to do it. Start obeying. Maybe that's start giving. Maybe that's start forgiving. Maybe that's start rebuilding our marriage. Maybe that's rebuilding our family. But we want to start obeying. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. So give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.